How's it? How are you doing? Hope you've had an amazing sporting week. We certainly have, as always. It's that time of the week again. Yep, it's time for another installment of your weekly sports podcast, Talking Point, a forum where we engage and debate with our top citizen sports journalists who keep you in the loop every day on our print and online portals. And from time to time, we also line up some special guests. Welcome to it. Once again, my name's Trevor Kramer. Joining me in studio this week, another great contributor to the show, and you've come to know him as one of our expert panelists. Also on all our various media platforms, the Citizen senior rugby writer, Ross Roche. Welcome back, Ross. Thanks for your time. Always good to have you on board.
Thanks very much, Trevor. Good to be here.
Now, rugby is our big focus again this week as the countdown continues towards the game showpiece tournament. That's the Rugby World Cup. Just less than 3 weeks in France. And why we have Ross on the show this week, it's another important rugby week for the Springboks in terms of the build-up towards the World Cup at least. The second of three pre-World Cup warm-up matches against Wales at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, and that's on Saturday. Now let's home in on the match first up, Ross. The biggest news of all is, of course, the return to the starting lineup of Captain Siya Kolisi, recovered, it seems, from a serious knee injury. So it seems the Bok management have not only got their timing spot on in terms of his anticipated rehabilitation, but his captaincy and his leadership ability, as well as being the face of the team and the nation. That's also crucial.
Yeah, Sia's a massive boost to the Boks. Ever since 2019, he took over the captaincy in 2018 when Jacques and Russie came in. And since then, it's just been going up for him. His stature's risen. He, led the team to the World Cup in 2019, which was such a massive moment for us once again. And, he's just such an inspirational figure. He's been just a massive part of the Boks setup for these 6 years under Jacques and Russie. And if he had missed on the World Cup, that would have been a huge blow. So the faith shown in his rehabilitation and the work he's obviously put in to make what most people are calling a miraculous recovery, as they hadn't given him a shot when he originally got injured, is just a really, really big moment for South African rugby. And when you consider some of the big players that are already missing out, it's just the kind of tonic we needed at this time.
Looking at the balance of the match day 23 to face Wales, just a quick refresher. Jaden Hendrikse getting a start at scrum half. Malcolm Marks, the starting hooker. Archie Snyman and John Klein, the lock pairing. Jasper Visa at number 8. Kanan Moody and Cheslin Colby, outside backs. 6-2 bench split. Ross, just talk us very briefly through your views on the side, if you would, to play this week. How close do you actually think this is to a starting combination for the World Cup opener against Scotland on the 10th of September? Yep, the 10th of September, it's round the corner.
I think this is probably the closest side that we've named to what will be starting in that game against Scotland. I think really nice to see Jaden Hendrikse getting a start, but I think if you had to go with who's going to start against Scotland, it would likely be Faf de Klerk. In the locks there, I think obviously Jean Klein's getting a go, but Eben will obviously be back for Scotland. Front row will be a bit of a juggle. It will depend on whether they want the Marks impact with the bomb squad against Scotland. But always nice to see Mark starting. And Ox on the bench coming back, he could also possibly be a starter against Scotland, as they also like having Stephen coming off the bench or Kitsy. So there are a few changes which would be made for that Scotland game. You've also got Kanan Moody in ahead of Kirtley Oranser and Makazole Mapimpi, which could be a change. But this is a very, very strong side and very close to what we will see. It's in a very important game in terms of starting to build cohesiveness in this team. As we've seen over the past four games, there have been massive changes made every game. even from the Argentinian game to this one, they've made 11 changes to the starting team. So now we need to start settling on the main combinations and pushing on from here.
Now, Ross, we've seen a pretty mixed bag from the broader squad up to this point. In fact, some of the so-called senior players or potential World Cup starters, frontline players, call it what you want, they've had their places under siege. What exactly do you think the Boks hope? In fact, I can't even use the word hope at this juncture. I should probably use the word need to get out of these remaining two warm-up matches against Wales and New Zealand.
Well, I think that they need to start hitting their straps. Scotland is such a big game for us in the context of the World Cup when you consider that Ireland is the top-ranked team in the world. And if we lost to Scotland, it would mean that we would have to beat Ireland to stand any chance of progressing to the knockouts. So the guys really need to start hitting form over these next two games. There have been some of the more senior guys have struggled a bit, but you still got to back them. They are our A players, our main players for a reason. So although they've had a really bad 20 minutes, first 20 minutes against the All Blacks down at the Mount Smart Stadium, and then they had a very average showing against Argentina at Ellis Park. So despite all that, these guys need to get proper game time now, and they need to kick on. Hopefully, having Khaleesi back in the mix will light a bit of a fire under them, and we'll just have to see what they produce against Wales. Unfortunately, it is a bit of a tough game for guys to actually show what they can do. Wales is always a very, very gritty team to play against. They take you to dark places, and it's always a bit of an arm wrestle, but we'll just have to see what happens on Saturday.
Still with the subject of warm-up matches, Ross, are they really a good thing, we have to ask, or just a necessary evil, perhaps, in this case? Our citizen rugby writers and numerous other pundits have all questioned the value of these fixtures, the injury and the niggle risks ahead of the World Cup, possible sightings and bans which could carry over into the World Cup. Yes, I understand the need for match hardness, game time, getting in some competitive rugby. But what's your take, Ross? Is there actually an alternative, if any?
I feel like you need to play before World Cup. You know, if, for instance, you were the Northern Hemisphere teams and you played your Six Nations early in the year and then you went into the World Cup cold, I think that that could end very badly for them if they came up against teams that had played sooner. So there's definitely a need to play games before the World Cup. I just feel that calling them warm-up games sort of diminishes the game for players and coaches, and also then leaves coaches in a situation where they need to decide, do I give my best players game time or do I wrap them in cotton wool? I feel like they should just be regular internationals. You know, the fact that the Rugby Championship was cut to three games, but then we still go and play Argentina and New Zealand again in warm-ups is just bizarre. Why didn't we just have a double round of the Rugby Championship and go into the World Cup? Then these games are all serious. You play them full. You play your best team. You try to build that momentum and you go into the World Cup. Unfortunately, injuries and bans are always going to be a part of the game. That's just something that you have to live with. But at least if it happens in a game that is a lot more serious than just a warm-up game in Buenos Aires where we lost Lucanio Am, you know, arguably our most important figure after Sia Khaleesi, you know, it leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. Whereas if that was a serious rugby championship game that we were hunting points on to try and stay in the hunt for the title, it's a completely different situation, and that's where I feel they need to sort of sort that out.
Just getting back to that risk factor, we lost Lucanio Am, you mentioned it, against Argentina. England has already lost scrum half Jack van Poortvliet. France suffered a major setback. They've lost their fly half Romain Ntamack and the prop Cyril Bailly in serious doubt. There are niggles in all the teams, of course. So we have seen the impact of these warm-up games already taking their toll in terms of injuries to key players.
Yeah, and, you know, that's where, again, it's a warm-up. You know, the coach is obviously thinking now, should I have played Ntamak in a game that really doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things? Whereas if that was a proper international that you're playing, you know, pride on the line and everything, different case, he probably wouldn't feel as bad. So, you know, these things are always going to happen. Unfortunately, injuries are part of the game, something we just got to live with. But it would be nice if it was a bit more important than a, as you say, a warm-up. And now you've got to think, geez, this guy's missing the whole World Cup because we risked him in a game that didn't mean anything.
Homing in on the box again, might perhaps not be a train smash in terms of the bigger picture if the box do happen to stumble in any of these so-called warm-up games. But Nienaber and co. constantly talk about the importance of momentum. Then again, Wales have looked good. They've given England a rough ride in the past 2 weeks. Something possibly brewing there under Warren Gatland, perhaps. How do you see this week's game going, and what are the key conflict areas for you, Ross?
Well, the forward battle is always a big one against Wales. They always like to push us hard there, take us to the dark places and, you know, make it very sort of ugly, you know, for our guys. So that'll be a big battle point for us. I feel like we should have too much in the tank for Wales. Gatland has been sort of changing things up recently, shaking them up. When you consider the form they've been in over the past two seasons or so, it really hasn't been good. So he's tried something different, and it seemed to have come off against England. But those were also against, you know, not exactly full-strength teams in those warm-ups, whereas now the Bucks have backed a large contingent of their main guys. So we should get the win here, but it's historically been always very tough. Games have always been decided by small margins. I think other than the big 30-14 win over Wales in Cape Town last year, the last five games between the sides have been decided by less than 5 points or 5 points or less. So it's going to be a tight one, but one that we should come away from with a win.
Before we wrap it, Ross, another controversial week, which perhaps shows up the inconsistency of the whole rugby disciplinary and judicial system. England captain Owen Farrell's yellow card, upgraded by the bunker review system to a red for his dangerous tackle on Tane Basham. The ruling by the disciplinary committee, though, said they found the foul play review officer to have been wrong, and they rescinded the red card, leaving him clear to play now in the World Cup and under no suspension. Your views quickly, Ross. Farrell, not exactly a first-time offender, is he?
Not at all. And the funny thing is, seeing the tackle that he made, it's the exact same tackle style that he's had his entire career when he did the hit on Andre Esterhaze, and that wasn't picked up. The hit he did for his club side earlier in the year that saw him banned for, was it 3 or 5 games? I can't really remember. Same type of style, leaving that right arm hanging, going, leading in with the shoulder, and getting direct contact to the head. So even if the judicial officers found that another player intervened in making, changing the Welsh player's line, for me that doesn't change the fact of the intent and the same style that he goes in with everything that he's been banned for, that he's been warned about. And sort of makes a mockery of World Rugby's whole push to, you know, protect player welfare. It's also hard to dispel the sort of you know, rumours and all that thing of them World Rugby sort of protecting the North. You know, Johnny Sexton's allowed to play at the World Cup. Xander Ferguson had a 3-game ban where he was going to miss the South African game, but it can be reduced to 2. Now if he follows the protocols needed. So he'll be available for the full World Cup. And now the main man, Owen Farrell. So you then look on the other side of that where ex-All Blacks player George Moala has been given a 10-week suspension for his tip tackle against a Canadian player this past weekend. And looking at the tackle, it was bad, but it also looked like the player slipped out of his hands, and it's an incredibly harsh call when you then go and consider how some of the other players, particularly from the North, look to be getting away with these things.
Maybe we should just be a little bit cynical here and say we actually can see exactly who's running world rugby at the moment and who's calling the shots in terms of the regulation and all the rules pertaining to rugby. It's definitely coming from the Northern Hemisphere, although it was an all-Australian disciplinary committee panel, and that's probably more astounding, isn't it, Ross?
It is a little bit, but Rugby Australia have been very friendly with World Rugby for a while, ever since their bailout a few years ago, and they got the 2027 World Cup, and there was also a lot of hoopla over the Nick Berry saga with Rusty Erasmus, which saw Rusty banned for almost a whole year. So they're obviously friendly, and conspiracy theories can abound on that kind of stuff, but in truth, we don't really know.
I do recall an English captain who once said that rugby is just run by a group of old men, or old farts, as he put it, in suits. Oh, there we go. That's where we'll leave it this week. But don't rush away, Ross. You probably know exactly what's coming next. It's time for our popular Flop and Gold Star of the Week feature. My flop of the week, nobody in particular stands out really. I'm going to be a little different this week. I'm awarding the award collectively to the video assistant referees, better known as VAR. Some shocking decisions meted out in the opening week of the English Premier League in particular, which is having a negative impact on the game. Yes, I'm okay to use technology to compensate for human error by match officials, but then use it properly and use it efficiently, potentially like rugby perhaps. Referees and assistant referees are starting to doubt themselves, and VAR is becoming too much of a security blanket for them. That's how I'll put it in a nutshell. My gold star of the week, that goes to Orlando Pirates striker Zakhele Lepasa. He showed great character after being hammered by the Buccaneers fans for his lack of form. He answered his critics like every sportsman should. He scored a brace in a 4-1 league victory over Royal AM last week. Then he netted a hat-trick in a 5-0 trouncing of Sekhukhune United in the MTN 8 last weekend. My gold star belongs to Zakhele Lepasa. Ross.
Well, we've been talking at length about it just right now. So World Rugby gets the nod for me. Very inconsistent calls there. And letting Owen Farrell off, he seems a bit bulletproof, the man. If we are to set a standard from this decision that's been made now, any sort of shoulder to the head contact and tackles now have to be properly reviewed. It's not going to be as cut and dry as it should be on that matter. So that will be my flop of the week. My gold star of the week will go to South African cricket star Heinrich Claassen. Claassen last night moved to the top of the 100 run scoring chart, which has seen his unbelievable form this year just continue. He was immense in the SA20. He dominated in the IPL, in the New American Cricket League. He was one of the top run scorers, and now he's leading the run scoring charts in the 100 over in England. So, he was sort of seen as one of our undercover stars heading towards the 50 over World Cup later this year. But instead, I think now he's a massive guy that teams will now be keeping a big eye on heading towards that competition.
Just an A-side very quickly before we wrap it, Ross. The Proteus sides to face the Aussies, that's the ODI side and the T20 sides, what do you make of them? I saw it as pretty predictable, and a few form players nudging their way in at this stage as well.
I think the T20 team is a weakened side, if we can put it that way. We have rested some big names, obviously. Henrik Claassen being one of them. David Miller's also out there. I think Rabada's not in the mix on that either. So I think they are treating the T20 series as, a bit of a, giving the guys a soft intro back in, giving the guys who've had a lot of work over the last few months a bit of a break, which has also then opened the door for some of the guys like Temba Bavuma to, show what he can do. Rassie van der Dissen's come back in there. So those guys who maybe would have missed out because of the more informed players are now going to get a chance. Whereas I think the one-day team is a full-strength team, and we will be using that series against Australia to try and build some momentum into the World Cup.
Yeah, I was just going to add that it's all about the World Cup when it comes to the selection of the ODI teams right now. That's also around the corner. And that's where we wrap it. You have yourself a great sporting week with the Citizen as your companion. That's both online and in print. Ross Roche, Senior Citizen Rugby Writer, thank you as always for joining us. Always a treat to chat to you.
Always my pleasure, Trevor.
My name's Trevor Cramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Why not follow Citizen News on Iono FM? You'll also find the podcast on the Citizen YouTube account. As always, I'm going to tell you, don't wait for that opportunity. Simply go out there and create it. May all your days be sporting days. Have yourself a great week. From me, cheers for now.